This is the April 18 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kurt Kimmel. He's from AgMarket.net. Merrill Crowley is with us from AgTraderTalk.com. And we're also joined by Wayne Nelson. He is at L&M Commodities. Thank you, Wayne, for making the trip in today. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Wayne, I'm going to start with you. I'll ask you how the first 2 weeks of retirement are and why the devil it is you're back for Commodity Week today to talk about the marketplace.
Well, you know, it's been fun to have some time off and not have margin calls and whatever, and not have to be in the market and answer why this market keeps going down. But I'm back because, God, I love this thing. The whole thing's been a great time for me. WIL has been so good to me over the years and all the wonderful friends I've made. And, you know, people like Kurt and Merrill and you, it's just an opportunity to come over and just enjoy the afternoon. So, you know, I wish I had a lot better news for you guys out there today listening. But we did listen to a couple of the guys that are on the advisory systems out there that says you got to probably have another couple weeks of bad markets, but they do look forward to turn around in May. They think that May is going to be a little better month for us here that way. Farmers weren't in the field on the way over here today. I only saw three all the way from Newmarket to Champaign. But they said west here it's dry and whatever like that. And I think that's one of the things they're going to be looking at is some of this dry weather.
We'll look forward to your color commentary as we make our way all the way through our Commodity Week program today. Let's do get a list of items that we should maybe discuss for the day. Merrill, I'm sure you came in with a couple of things you were thinking about. What's on your mind?
One other thing is I'd kind of like to hear what other people's opinion are. Inflation. Is it here? Coming back? Or are we being fooled?
Well, we'll talk about that one. And Kurt Kimmel, on your list?
Well, I guess I learned something real quick here. Instead of turnaround Tuesday, we got turnaround May coming up here from our special guest, Wayne Nelson. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah. Turnaround May would be a good thing. What else should we talk about beyond turnaround May? We have the wheat crop in Russia. We have a second crop of corn in South America, in Brazil, Argentina, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of news items out there, but the market's just plain numb to it. I've never seen a market just not react. It seems the market bounces a little bit, gives everybody hope, then takes that hope away in through here. I think we're in a situation now where the funds are kind of dominating the trade, and it used to be the trend's your friend, but the funds is kind of your friend in here now. I think what we got to look forward to is some type of weather. It's going to be a weather event if we're going to get the public involved and get the market to see some type of giddy up in through here. But weather-wise, it's going to have to be hot and dry, and we're a long ways from that right now.
You mentioned that the marketplace seemed not to react to the news. You talked about it possibly being the funds that were the issue in that case. Are there other times that any of the three of you might remember when the marketplace did not react to news, wasn't able to understand what was happening, and was driven by other outside sources?
There's roughly 12 other years going back to 69 where we have seen the market basically have some sort of high in the fall and then just basically slowly but surely move lower. However, they did find a low and they did rally back. Most of those found a low in May. It's funny, there were several that had a May 12th. Now, I'm not looking for May 12th myself. However, I am looking for a low, have been looking for some time. I called it an early low, which was probably a mistake on my part because I was thinking of in comparison to a fall low. My low is coming probably late May, early June. And then from that low, I think we're going to rally. And it seems like we should rally into August.
That would be a long time for your old crop folks to wait if they need to make sales.
Well, that was their decision. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that this thing's going to go to $7 or $8. That's not my point here. My point is we're going to find a low, we're going to get a rally, and we should get a rally up to a point where we can make sales profitable sales. They may not be as profitable as you've seen in the past, but you can make some profitable sales. So if you get yourself prepared, get your marketing ideas in order and decent prices in order, you could probably have anywhere from 2 weeks to maybe a month to make up your mind to put those in. But that's going to happen quick, as it does in this type of marketplace. And I'm talking very quick. So these ideas that you want to put down, these bids that you want to put in, need to be there, need to be sitting there ready to go, because this thing can hit, bang, done, and you're sitting there like a deer in the headlight look, wondering what you missed.
I know that farmers will have ideas. They'll say, I want to sell $5 cash corn, old crop, I want to sell $12 soybeans, old crop. I wonder if that's really in the offing, which means they'd have to be, you know, on the futures prices in that 1230, 1240 range and 520 at least, probably, maybe more. Do you have targets for them? And are they at that high? Are they at 480 and 1180? What kind of prices are you thinking?
Since we left the gaps in January, that has kind of been the idea where I think we should go. There is a head and shoulders bottom in corn, and it does project to 520. Now, the problem with that, we need to break the neckline. That neckline is 481, 482. And if you know anything about head and shoulders, if you break the right shoulder, then the thing can drop just as much as it could go up from the neckline. That would put you down around $4. So we need to break that 480 to get up higher. What's going to happen to do this and what might push these fundamentally? Everybody knows about it, but nobody's paying attention. It is the apocalyptic cicada population that's going to hit us. And they're just going to eat everything all up.
Well, at least in East Central Illinois, that may very well be the case, as we have more than a few types of cicadas that will be coming out all at once.
It'll probably be weather and how, or it could be some other situation with the way things are turning out with these situations of war popping up all over.
You know, along with what Merrill said, you know, they're looking for corn yields to be down in Argentina this year because of the leafhoppers down there. Not quite the bugs he's talking about, but they are talking about that and coming back down then. So that's going to help a little bit. But I think the one thing that we've maybe missed here along the whole thing is China has been our savior for years. It used to be when I was a kid in high school and college going through it, it was Russia we always talked about, whether Russia was going to come in and buy. It's been whether China would come in and buy. China has stayed away from us, went to Brazil. They canceled some wheat today. A lot of things happening along the way like that. But they're talking about La Nina coming into Argentina here later, just a little bit, you know, a month down the road like that. That might be what sparks our May rally that we talk about here. So, but, you know, that's just a couple things. But I did want to bring up that there was some bugs that were doing some problems in South America.
Insects, insects, insects.
Yeah, we talked about this last time we're on. They're going to block the sun. We're not going to get the sunlight, even though I supposedly Bill Gates is trying to block the sunlight. So a lot of things out there. But the bottom line is your bottom line. And that's where we're looking at playing some catch-up marketing here. The market is incredibly oversold. It does not look good. We can have some recovery here. But Merrill has some excellent points on those necklines and some downtrend lines. I think you got to use those to get to where you want to be. There's a lot of hope. The market gives us hope. Then the market takes that hope away. When you look at the big picture in through here, going into next week, we have May option expiration. Maybe we can get that out of the way. We've got month end coming up. Let's try to get that out of the way. We got another round of basis contracts in the maize we got to deal with in here. So there's plenty to look at. But as far as a substantial move to the upside, when you look at the supply demand balance sheet, the bottom line right now is we got plenty of supply. The end user's sitting there. He's having to bid up some cases to get some supply in, but there's no urgency to be a buyer right at the second here.
I want to ask you about supply and demand in just a second, the two of you, but I do want some color commentary on moving through expiration and what that means. There will be many farmers who actually are on basis contracts that are going to have to roll, and they'll be looking at this. Greg Johnson earlier in the week reminded them that it may be better sooner than later as an elevator operator at one point in your life and watching these expirations all the time. Do you have any sage advice?
Well, I think we have seen some tighter basis levels because the farmers are ready to go to the field. They're sitting back. They don't want to sell corn. They don't want to sell beans because I don't want to get stuck in my semi when I want to be in my planter. And that's one of the things that's going on. We are seeing where it's coming, where they're saying that, hey, we're bringing stuff in to where it isn't the basis, you know, it's narrowing the July and the May that way. So I'm thinking, you know, the guys, I don't look for the guys to go back to where they put their options on to do some of this. Hopefully they sold their cash and replaced it with the cheap option and they took that and it just took the carrier, the money that the interest they made to pay for those options. But we're going to see a lot of disappointment about next Friday with the options as we look at them. But all along the way, I think that in all honesty, number one, please check your bins. Don't make any things out of condition. Move it, take the basis, sell it along the way, and cash it out. If you wanted to do it, if you want to re-own it, buy a call, but buy a cheap call, buy one a little bit out of the money.
One observation on these cash bids, there's been tremendous cash bids. In fact, guys, wow, I'm going to do that. But you're sitting in line for like 3 hours trying to dump. So you got to make sure you're at a spot where you can move stuff. And that's not going to happen as we go to the field here. But I think the strategy is to look at some opportunities, move it and replace it. Because if the funds cover, they're going to buy futures and options. They're not going to buy cash grain.
So I'm going to ask you all three a question that you'll have to think about. This is related to the supply and demand situation, something to related to China being in the market, or actually more so about the United States being the grocery store or the export place for the world for both corn and soybeans for a very long time. The ag economist will say the transition into a domestic marketplace, but particularly for soybeans, will be stable, but cause a lower price for the United States because the export market is the margin. And if we're not in the export business, you don't find the higher prices internally or demand or internally or because your basis doesn't follow the marketplace as much. And I know this isn't for right now, for today, but in coming years, how do you think farmers should consider the long term as it's related to their marketing plans and expansion and the way they look forward to operating their businesses?
Wow, that's a big question.
It is a large question about the future of farming in America and how it will operate and how small of a margin producers will have to operate on potentially.
For now, your margins are going to be small. There is a trend or a cycle out there where about every 2 years you have very tight margins, very tight or very large supplies. And then you have about 2 years where you have good margins and good supplies. So you need to kind of calculate when those are coming so you can kind of plan better for what you're getting. Right now, and I heard these two guys talking about basis, the only place I've really heard about good basis improvement has been ethanol plants or if somebody has a train to load out. Otherwise, our basis is almost as bad as what we normally see in a fall time period. So we need to first see that improve. We need to see our spreads improve. Otherwise, our cash basis isn't going to go up. Right now, we need to kind of finish out this year. This year is going to continue to be tight. We're going to see a rally, I think, like I said, up to possibly 520 in the corn, up to maybe 13, 1250 to 13 in the beans. And I think those are targets to have things set up and try to work within it. As far past down 2 years or what's going to happen in the, it's always been saved by weather. We went through a period from 2012 to 2021. And the only time we got decent prices was through weather. And I think that's going to continue to be the case. As we continue to clear land, as we continue to take away our trees, we end up with more carbon in the atmosphere, and our temperatures are going to be even worse than they were before. But that does provide you the opportunity to price if you take advantage of it when the market rallies.
Well, when you look at exports, you're dead on. Export share continues to shrink, and the savior is supposed to be renewable diesel and bio and so forth. You know, that's still going to be a process in here. But when you look at the carryout estimates, we got ample supply, so there's nothing really, really bullish there at the moment. But as you mentioned, China, if you look at new crop sales this coming crop year, it's goose eggs. They haven't stepped up and really been aggressive on purchases here. So this export picture is really questionable. And as we've seen the administration talk about steel and tariffs and so forth, this trade could get kind of ugly here as we move forward. So I think there's some downside risk in through here. So from a marketing point of view and your margins and so forth, I think you got protected. And don't count on crop insurance in general, because those price floors are a lot lower from here.
You know, it's wars and rumors of wars and a lot of things going on in the world. The Ukraine is not planning near as much stuff because they don't have the money. They were very, very big against us this last year as far as exporting stuff, trying to pay for the war. They're not. They don't have the money. They don't have. They have bombs coming in. It's a little hard to farm when you got missiles coming at you. You know, it's hard enough to farm with just the weather here in the U.S., but bombs are worse. I think that we're going to see some stuff happen along the way. I think we're going to see some weather things that do happen that are going on along the way. But we are the grocery store to the world. We're the residual out there. We're going to still do good. I think that some of our farmers need to quit farming some of their marginal ground. I think we need to maybe not put as much fertilizer on in some cases. But as to look at it out here, I think there's still a real future in agriculture out here. I think that we're feeding the world, and the world is going to need food. And I think with all of the craziness that's going on out here now, that there's going to have to be, you know, something that happens good for us along the way. You know, generally along the now, in about 30 days, why we turn around this soybean oil. The soybean oil is going to be a very big thing in a lot of the renewable diesel, a lot of the things that we've looked at, and it's the way we're cleaning things up. And I think that, you know, that's going to continue to happen. The world wants to clean things up as far as carbon stuff out there. So we're leading the way on some of that. I think there's some positive things happening. But I mean, it's not looking rosy and cheery and happy like it has for the last 3 years for farmers this year. They're going to be out there sort of like it was back in the 50s when I was a kid, and farmers don't make much money.
And to be honest, these cycles come and go in the agricultural world all the time. Well, so there will be highs that last, as most highs do, for a short period in this time, 3 years maybe. And there were some highs in the 2010s, and they do return, and then there are longer periods deeper cuts and issues. Given that, I do want to continue with this year and what pricing might look like. Can we talk just a little bit about inflation? You mentioned this is one of the things you wanted to hear from everybody else, but I'm sure that you've got some ideas as it's related to inflation and what might be in place or coming. The Federal Reserve, it appeared, was going to be backing off on interest rate hikes. Not clear that that's going to be the case at this point. What are your thoughts as it relates to inflation in the United States?
Well, let's just take the Fed and where they're at with their interest rates. What's the economy doing that's so bad that they need to cut interest rates? You know, you can't really find anything that's that bad. The only thing that's really bad about it is what we're paying as a country in interest rates for our debt. The U.S. dollar has been going up. That is not in sync with what normally happens if we're having inflation. During inflationary time, the U.S. dollar pulls back. The other thing is oil prices are rising. Well, are they rising on inflation, or is this due to the conflict in the Middle East? And I am of the idea that it's more geopolitical. We've shut some oil off and everything, and it's more of a supply than a demand problem. And you need the demand problem for it to be inflationary. You know, too many dollars chasing too few goods. Well, supply is low, but it's usually a demand situation. The other thing is silver and gold prices. What's going on with them? Well, I think the people that are buying these are looking at the situation worldwide and the crises we are having, and gold and silver are the place you put your money when there's crisis. Another place you do it is dollar. Copper, always a key. Prices are going up, but yet the problems in copper is the smelting. They're having difficulty with their smelters, and we are seeing the miners and the smelting process closing down because they can't make money. So it's not inflationary in this instance. It will be. China's covering construction. So where's our demand to buy the copper, buy the aluminum? It's not a demand problem. It's a supply problem, and that's not inflationary. Now, 87% of the time, you get a reoccurrence of inflation. And I look for that to come down the road. But that explains so well to me that, in fact, it's a supply problem or geopolitical conflict is pushing prices, and explains why our grains aren't going anywhere. There's not a supply problem with our grains. And it is the market's purpose to bring prices to such an extent to curb production. And that's what's happening.
Do you think that farmers will plant fewer acres because of that, or are they, as they were surveyed, correct at this point?
You go back and look, and there's several years where we've seen 6.5 to 8% decreases in acreage when the price pulls back. So somewhere, I don't think it's in the I states or the main Midwest, but you take out West, they can't make money at this. And unless they have the crop insurance prices, they're not going to make money at this. They can't make money at this. So they will leave that ground idle or turn it into something to raise livestock.
That pretends that sometimes, based on what the USDA has told us, that there is prevent plant that takes place, which means they can't get in. Probably not dry conditions, but wet conditions in that case would have to double up with what Merrill's talking about in order to take a lot of acres, I think. And Merrill, I'll come back to you with your thoughts on this.
They've already said they're gone, and this happens all the time. And I'm not talking about prevent plant.
You're talking about the 2 million that
you... I am talking about how it normally disappears when prices drop. And where it exactly disappears from, I can't really tell you, to be honest with you.
So you're discussing the 6 million acres, principal acres, the 2 million acres of corn and soybeans, 1 million apiece, that have already disappeared.
And I don't look for it to come back. Now, you might see corn switch a little bit with beans, because if it goes in the ground quickly, you know, that means that they're going to probably plant more corn, because farmers like to plant corn. And the other problem that could create if it goes in too quick is higher yield.
So I do have a question about that. I asked on Thursday afternoon Matt Bennett this exact question, because I was of a mind, as Merrill has just said, that if things are good, planters are rolling, farmers like to plant corn. I suggested that to him, and Matt was of the mind that prices were so darn low that they would plant soybeans. What do you think, Kurt?
Yeah, I've mentioned this too. That's been the old school, and what I've been told is they're planting beans first, so they'll continue to plant beans, not corn. So I guess we're fixing to find out on this. But if conditions are good, they're going to continue to plant. As far as the acreage goes, they're trying to spin that into hay, grass, and so forth. But that's a lot of acres. But Merrill's right. Whenever you've got high prices, acreage comes out. You got lower prices, you see that acreage shrink. As far as prevent plant, we'll have to watch the Dakotas. That's your main prevent plant area thus far. Most of these later weather systems are continuing to move to the south. So I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of prevent plant.
Inflation is real, because we're all paying a lot more for everything. We're not making that much more money either, unless you're a fast food worker in California and making $20 an hour and you're making $8 before. But their inflation on everything else is more than eating that up. I think that one of the things we have out here now is world economics, as we're looking at a lot of things. we're seeing possibly a shortage of crude oil because of war, because of places being blocked off, things happening and doing stuff a long way like that. So that's going to keep our gas high. We're sitting at least $1, $1.50 more than we were a year ago on some of these gasoline prices. That is eating into everybody's budget. They talk about this is the time of the year to sell a house. The interest rates are high. These interest rates aren't high. You know what I paid for my first house when I did that? 12.75%. And I had to stay with that bank because everybody else was 13.5%. Yes, that's hard, and it's hard on stuff. But I mean, we aren't at rates that are going to kill people as far as that goes. But the whole thing is happening. We're seeing a use up. We're seeing credit card debt increase. We're seeing a lot of things and a lot of people doing this. They talked today on the news, airline, they're saying that sales and people are going to be flying more miles this summer than they've ever flown in their life. You know, I saw that just after I saw the whole article about how the one plane was going to explode because the one guy went and was a whistleblower and saying that the one kind of plane was going to fall apart in the middle of the air. But, you know, we've seen a lot of things happen. But I think just this whole world is in a, I think everybody is probably overextended. All the countries are. We're looking at some really possible financial collapses in countries, not just people.
Just a quick definition as it's related to inflation that the U.S. government uses. Inflation is annual and year over year. So if there is a 7% inflation rate, that would mean that we're paying 7% more this year than we did last year for an item. Next year, when we get that, we could have a 0% inflation rate, but we'd still be paying exactly the same this year or next year as we are this year. So that's how they are calculating inflation year over year. Otherwise, it would be called deflation. So the prices would be going down. So it's not that prices would be going down if we don't have a higher inflation rate. It's just that prices have not changed from the previous year. You wrote something down as Wayne was talking there. What did you write down?
This inflation, everybody's got a little different perspective on it, but I've always looked at it. It's a lot of money chasing a few products, and inflation with prices going up, as you look at the economy, yeah, as we go forward and through here, like Wayne mentioned, house buying, well, if you pay these higher interest rates and if you lose your job or if we don't see your income go up, then all of a sudden you're underwater. Then the housing sector would be something to really keep an eye on through here. But what's really happened in through here, I think, is profitability. Companies are wanting to make more money, and so therefore they're inching the prices up, and the consumer continues to pay for it. Unfortunately, I think credit card debt, as Wayne mentioned there, is going to continue to move in here. I've flown a couple times here this past year, and I just can't believe how packed the airlines are on certain days.
Let's get a final word now from each of you. I think we'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
You know, it's very depressing right now to look at the commodity prices and for corn and beans and both. I'm going to still hope for this May rally. We're going to, you know, it's not turn around Tuesday, but it's been turn around May. And I think we're going to look for a little bit there. Now, don't look for as much as you want. Be happy with a little bit. Lock in some profit and go on and look at things that way. So, but, you know, and I just want to say to everybody out there, this is one of my last shows and it's great. I've loved doing this and it's just been so much fun.
Thank you, Wayne. Kurt Kimmel, your last word for the day.
Oh boy, it's hard to follow that. Man, Wayne, I've known you for years. This has been a great adventure. It's always an adventure hanging with you. From a marketing point of view and commodity point of view, I feel there is some downside risk in through here. We need to come up with some type of strategy here to transfer that risk to somewhere else. I think if you're wanting some plays in here, there's a lot of nickel dime plays in here. I don't know if there's really a home run play here as we move forward.
And Merrill Crowley.
Like I said, I think we're going to have that May, early June low move up into August. That's going to be your time to make your move. And the last thing I've got to say is the only reason I'm on WILL is due to Wayne. And I want to thank you for that, Wayne. And I appreciate everything you've done.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can find Wayne and all his friends anytime you'd like there at WILLAG.org. Just click and play on demand our programming, or you can search it out in your favorite podcast application. Our thanks go to our panelists today, including Merrill Crowley of AgTraderTalk.com. He's in Watseka, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. And Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.